Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Wides, your host. Now, before I get to this week's actual show topic, I want to mention something really disturbing that's been going on since the Olympics started last week, going on during the Olympics since they started. And no, it's not poor Bob Costas's swollen, irritated, creepy red eye, which seems to be getting worse, not better. And no, it's not the fact that Putin sat through the figure skating last night watching his dream team of skaters perform for him without ever even once cracking a smile. No, it's not that. And it's not anything about the appalling, unfinished state of the hotels in Sochi. No, not that. What's been really horrifying and really upsetting this Olympics is the advertising, but not just all the advertising for Crave. That's Crave with a K, K-R-A-V-E, Crave cereal. Have you seen this? Now, Crave is a cereal. It's a chocolate cereal. And by the way, no, it's not the fact that it's a chocolate cereal either. That's not what's been bothering me. I mean, I've raged against the cereal machine so often and for so long now that a chocolate cereal is, it's the least of my concerns. I mean, I would rather people eat chocolate for breakfast than cereal, really. No, but what's firing me up this time is that the ad campaign for Crave, with a K, is the first cereal advertising I've ever seen where the manufacturer, Kellogg's, seems to be acknowledging the fact that this cereal isn't really food, just basically a form of candy. They're using it as a plus, as a promotional tool, that it's not really food. There's not even a mention of the word breakfast in the ads, or any token nod to nutrition like made with whole grains or part of your complete breakfast, which was how we were all sold Fruit Loops and Count Chocula for years as part of your complete breakfast. No, I think that this time Kellogg's actually knows that there's no point in even trying to sell us those lies. They know we know, and we're all in it together, kind of complicit in our unmentioned but shared knowledge. And so they've chosen to advertise their chocolate cereal in prime time to adults, because I think that Crave, with a K, may be the first official stoner cereal, a cereal marketed explicitly and intentionally and directly toward the 18 to 35-year-old pot smokers and college students who are watching at night, without the song and dance nutrition routine that we hear so endlessly and have heard for years in cereal advertising, trying to convince us that a processed oat flour shell filled with cocoa powder, corn syrup, and milk powder is what you need to start the day. Crave isn't about starting the day. It's about late at night, specifically the late night stoner munchies. Now, they never even use the word breakfast in the ad, and they barely even mention the word cereal. I'm not sure they even mention the word cereal, actually. And so I'm not sure whether I should cry or applaud them for their honesty, for finally saying, okay, we know, you're right. And because all my mental images and all my ideas about advertising come from watching too much Mad Men, I can totally picture the strategy meeting where Stan Rizzo is convincing Don that Crave isn't really a kid's cereal. It's a cereal for his new generation of perpetual adolescence, the post-war boomer kids that they're growing up to be. To be eaten while wasted and watching the world's most elite athletes on the slopestyle event, which is the snowboarders' obstacle course, a brand new Olympic event this year, which is also the ultimate stoner Olympic event. It's really genius. I mean, total genius. It's a cereal, but we're not even going to say it's a cereal. Because we know that you know it's not really a cereal, but shh, don't tell anybody else that it's not really a cereal. We'll just all keep it amongst ourselves that it's not a cereal. We're not even going to mention breakfast. But that's not really what I want to talk about this week. What I really want to talk about this week is Valentine's Day, of course. How could I not? I always talk about the holidays. And Valentine's Day is this week. And, you know, I can't pass up a foodiness holiday opportunity when one comes around, although foodiness in its truest and purest form has no place in the celebration of Valentine's Day. I mean, if your sweetie is giving you foodiness for Valentine's Day, like fiber-added, high-protein, vegan chocolate truffles or sugar-free red velvet-flavored gluten-free chia cupcakes, then I would reevaluate that relationship. I would get back on OkCupid and start shopping around again. Valentine's Day is about pure, sweet, real food, non-foodiness, sugar. Like, for example, really good chocolate, preferably above 80% cacao, or pink grapefruit-flavored jelly beans for your favorite radio host. It's just an example. I'm here to help. Now, Valentine's Day also isn't the day to worry about your sugar and your sugar intake, because technically it's one of the few days a year when you should be eating a big pile of sugar. Valentine's Day, Easter, Halloween, maybe Christmas. Not every day, as in not in a big bowl at breakfast, and not in a bottle of blue-flavored so-called sports drink, and not in a 32-ounce birthday-flavored coffee frappuccio every afternoon. No, a few days a year for holidays, special occasions, your birthday, and one day a year to show your love, your love. You give them a special treat. Some nice chocolates in a heart-shaped box, a bunch of tulips, a new pair of sorrel boots, maybe. That would be very nice. That's just an example. But if they've started their day with, say, a big bowl of Crave with a K, not that we're saying that it's for breakfast or anything, because it's not, then a few hours later after that bowl, they'll be crashing in a teary, low blood sugar heap at their desk, which is not a nice way to start a Valentine's Day. Girl, you would be a mess by happy hour if you started your day that way. But oh, since it does just happen to be Valentine's Day after you've started your day with your Crave. And on this Valentine's Day, you happen to be sharing your cubicle at work with the grown-up version of the little girl who used to give everyone in class a Valentine. And she's been the thoughtful but lonely single girl who stopped at Dunkin' Donuts on the way into the insurance company office. Then relief is on the way. Now, just to get it out in the open, before we continue, I just have to say here that I don't like donuts. Call me un-American, except for maybe an apple cider donut in the fall if it's apple season, I'm out apple picking. And it has nothing to do with the sugar or the white flour or the foodiness or the junk or anything else that I scream about weekly or daily. I just don't really like the mouthfeel or the taste of sweetened fried dough. I like cake, and I like fried things. I just don't like fried cake. It's nothing personal. I just don't. I used to. When I was a chubster child, a box of Dunkin' Donuts was like crack to me. But tastes change, and people grow up, except people who eat Crave with a K. And while I don't like donuts now, I did, and I still do really like cookies, especially homemade chocolate chip cookies. I mean, who doesn't? In our house, spotting that rare yellow bag of Nestle's chocolate chips, technically called morsels, by the way, not chips, in the upper reaches of the kitchen cabinets where my mom thought she had so cleverly hidden them, spotting that bag meant baking cookies immediately. Fresh baked chocolate chip cookies or other homemade cookies were a great treat. And it required some planning and some work, which is why they were a treat. You had to make sure you had the ingredients. Then you actually had to mix the ingredients into a dough. And then you had to scoop that dough out onto cookie sheets. And then you had to turn on the oven and you had to bake it into cookies. Planning, process, execution, industry. That was America. We baked our cookies. We mixed them by hand. We baked them in the oven, damn it. And as a tiny, sneaky little treat, a little part of that experience, part of baking homemade cookies also meant the sneaking of tiny, tiny little bits of raw cookie dough, which in itself was also a treat, albeit a potentially dangerous one. What with the raw eggs and all? But it was the 70s and life was full of risk back then. I mean, I would come home every day to an empty house after school. I would spend days out on my bike with no cell phone with me. I would ride in the way back of other families' station wagons with no seatbelt on. I would sit in restaurants with people who were smoking. Danger was everywhere. A few bits of raw cookie dough just made us tougher, more immune, ready for the challenges of the Reagan years to come. Did I mention also that we would eat tiny bits of raw cookie dough because it was somewhat illicit, socially unacceptable behavior? I'll get back to that momentarily. We're going to take a quick break.
This is the remix of Jones by Jade by me, Jack Inslee, on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real. I didn't know if that was the end of the song or not. The cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Weitz. So, at some point back then, you didn't actually have to make your cookie dough anymore because refrigerated pre-made Toll House cookie dough was introduced, and you could buy it in the supermarket in a log. And it was called Slice and Bake. Those are the directions. Slice and Bake, which after a few years apparently became too taxing and physically challenging for most Americans because it involved measuring and holding a knife. So then they introduced pre-cut refrigerated cookie dough, so all you had to do was put it on the baking sheet and put it in the oven. There! Homemade cookies in a snap. Grandma would be rolling over in her grave right about now if she weren't down at the casino gambling away all of her pension. And then I guess at some point after that, we all just gave up the baking part altogether of the cookie making and just started eating the dough. The taboo against dough eating somewhere evaporated. And we just skipped over the whole baking part. Maybe it had something to do with Carter and energy saving and shortages. I don't know. But we just skipped over the baking and just started eating the raw cookie dough. But, you know, a lot of folks swear by a raw foods diet. So maybe, yet again, I'm the last to know. I mean, all those wasted years of baking my cookies, maybe I was the last one to know. So anyway, back to the insurance company office, where you've just hit your morning sugar crash after your big bowl of Crave with a K, about 10:30. And your cubicle mate, remember her? The one who stopped at Dunkin' Donuts on the way in because it's Valentine's Day? I mean, who gives out donuts on Valentine's Day? Well, this gal apparently does. And so she's walking around the office of the insurance company and she hands you a heart-shaped donut. Oh, so sweet, so clever. It's heart-shaped to remind you of all the damage that that sugar is going to do to your heart. That's so cute. Now, is it a classic cakey chocolate glazed donut or a cinnamon sugar dusted donut? Or a cider donut? No! This donut is filled and frosted. Okay, those have been around forever. That's okay. They were my favorites back in the chub day. So is this donut filled with raspberry jam and coated in a fine crust of crunchy sugar? Or filled with yellow vanilla custard and glazed with dark chocolate, aka Bavarian cream? Or even chocolate cream with a K filled and coated in powdered sugar? Hell no! Then what is it filled with? What else is there? I haven't had a Dunkin' Donuts in years, so please explain. Please help me. Sad single girl who shares my cubicle, you're my only hope. Well, this donut, this is a very special kind of Valentine's Day donut. This donut says I love you the most because this donut is a limited edition, heart-shaped Dunkin' Donuts Valentine's Day cookie dough donut. Filled with cookie dough, frosted with chocolate icing, and covered with tiny chocolate chips. Ta-da! Wow. Now, wait a second. Wait a second. Back up. Did you say that this donut was filled with cookie dough? How can a donut be filled with cookie dough? Is it a donut or is it a cookie? I mean, that's just crazy talk, filling a donut with a completely unrelated substance. That would be like putting birthday cake into yogurt. Cookie dough, as I said before, is an illicit, sneaky treat, something we pilfered in bits when mom wasn't looking, something you weren't supposed to eat. That's what made it fun. It's why they don't legalize drugs. It takes away the fun. Cookie dough isn't a standalone food. It's a temporary incarnation of a substance, a fleeting state, like water becoming ice or vapor. It's on its way to becoming something else, and it can become an endless variety of something else's. Just because you add chocolate chips one time doesn't mean all cookie dough has chocolate chips in it, and not all cookies are chocolate chip cookies. There's no law. This is America. We have certain inalienable rights and privileges, and one of them is that we can flavor our cookie dough however we want to, especially in Colorado. So is it a dough or a filling or just a flavor? This is a question that is almost Talmudic in its nature. Has cookie dough gone down the flavorist rabbit hole to where some group of foodiness flavoring industry guys in lab coats all got together to decide on a unified version and standard agreement on what cookie dough flavor is and tastes like? A lowest common denominator standardized agreement of the definitive flavor of cookie dough? Well, yeah, it has. And it's become an official food group, according to the USDA. So cookie dough flavored cream with a K-filled heart-shaped donut with chocolate icing and mini chips on top, not morsels, chips, are this year's Valentine's Day treat of choice across this great nation of ours, a nation, I must mention, where our finest, most elite athletes are being sponsored by Coke, McDonald's, Subway, and Kellogg's. I just had to get that in there somewhere today. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
This is 407 by Jack Inslee on heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Weitz, your host. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show and find the show on Facebook and listen to all of our shows on iTunes or on heritageradionetwork.org or on letsgetrealshow.com. So then, what makes cookie dough flavor cookie dough flavored? Basically, sugar and salt. The Toll House chocolate chip cookie recipe has a perfect balance of brown sugar and salt to chocolate and butter. It's a perfect recipe. Those four things are so complementary and harmonious, it makes for a perfect cookie experience, which is what makes them so addictive. And cookie dough flavor is just that: brown sugar, salt, artificial butter flavor, and very cheap chocolate. It's not just the Dunkin' Donuts V-Day donut showing up with the hottest flavor since birthday flavor and pumpkin spice flavors peaked late last year. All kinds of cookie dough flavored foodiness nightmares are hitting the big time. Our research team here at the Foodiness Fallout Shelter, which is me, uncovered a few more choice morsels. Sorry, not chips, morsels. While researching this piece, and here's what I found. Originally, cookie dough, in its actual real dough form, began showing up in ice cream. It made the leap from the baked world to the raw world into the ice cream world first. Ben and Jerry started it. Remember them? Before they were bought by Procter & Gamble? And then others jumped on the raw dough bandwagon. Cold Stone Creamery notoriously had to deal with an outbreak of salmonella because they sourced cookie dough from a company who made it with the crazy intention of the dough being baked, not frozen raw into ice cream for potato people to slurp while waddling through the mall. The raw eggs in the cookie dough were contaminated with salmonella and thousands of people became ill. Whoops. And I thought that cookie dough had just kind of hovered there as an ice cream add-in, that it was just kind of staying in stasis in that point, just going into ice cream occasionally. I had no idea that the actual dough had disappeared down the flavoring rabbit hole, only to pop up again in a million different gopher hole places, like cookie dough vodka, of course. Everything finds its way into a bottle of vodka these days, especially that girl in your office. And there's cookie dough flavored coffee creamer and cookie dough flavored syrups for coffee and your frappa chunka chews in the afternoon and cookie dough chocolate chip flavored Pop-Tarts, which is crazy meta weird because that's cookie flavored pastry, which we've discussed here before and is like the donut. And then I found organic cookie dough flavored extract for baking. It's organic, though. So you can flavor your cookies with cookie flavor. Yet again, like I mentioned in the birthday flavored episode a few months ago, cookie flavored cookie extract is a chicken and egg puzzle. How do you get the cookie flavor out of the cookies if you need to flavor the flavor to flavor the cookies first? And speaking of cookies, Oreo, they seem to pop up in every episode lately. Oreo has just introduced a cookie dough flavored Oreo. Yes. Really? So it's a cookie flavored like another cookie, but in its raw form. Now, they don't make chocolate chip Oreos, just raw chocolate chip cookie dough flavored Oreos. That one's so meta, I can't even wrap my addled brain around it. And that's just the edible stuff, the so-called food products. We also found cookie dough flavored toothpaste for kids because that develops good dental hygiene habits. And cookie dough flavored protein powder for bodybuilders, which is good because bodybuilders are really just overgrown toddlers who want to hog the sandbox. And cookie dough flavored Luna bars and protein bars for the ladies who still eat like teenage girls. And then for the real adults in your life who need adult products because they are adults with adult tastes, there's cookie dough flavored sex lube. And the best one of all, the one I cannot believe is real, but it is real, cookie dough flavored e-cigarette liquid for vaping. So you can smoke your fake cigarette flavored with your fake cookie dough flavoring. So this Valentine's Day, if you really want to show your love, you can pass around a box of heart-shaped cookie dough donuts because nothing says I love you like a sugary treat shaped just like the organ that you're intentionally destroying by consuming too many of them. And remember, if you don't want to eat shit or brush your teeth with shit or build your muscles with it or smoke it or lick it off someone's private bits, then keep tuning in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on the Heritage Radio Network. And have yourself a very happy Valentine's Day. Thanks to Jack and Joe in the control room, Chris Nutter, my co-producer, and me, Erica Wides, your host.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.